message this evening is witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. Last week I talked about his resurrection and the many infallible proofs of our Lord after his resurrection. And it says here in verse 4, and being assembled together with them, with his disciples, with his people, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, before he ascended back to his Father, he gave some instructions to his disciples. They were standing on Mount Olive, where our Lord ascended back to glory from. And while he was there, he had a talk with them. Talked to them, gave them some instructions, told them what to do before he left. Some call it the Great Commission, but I don't believe that is. I think he gave the Great Commission, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature at different times that he was with them. And here it tells us what he says. It tells us exactly what he told them to do. And but he first told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing he told them to do. You know, I promised that the Holy Spirit would come. I'm going away, but I'll not leave you comforts. I'll not leave you as orphans. He said, you wait. He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shall come from my Father. He'll teach you. He'll be your teacher. He'll be your comforter. He'll take the place of me being with you. Instead of me being with you, he'll be with you. And everything that I've taught you, he'll bring back to your mind, and he'll teach you things concerning me, teach you things that's going to come. And all the one... And when he talks about the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he'd be the one who'd give them power to do his will, to be his witnesses after he went back to glory. And there has to be power to be his witnesses, to be a true witness, to be a faithful witness. It takes power to do that. Anybody can talk about Jesus. Anybody can use his name. Anybody can quote from a few verses of Scripture. But all to be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be called to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was listening to Brother Henry this morning on the DVD, and one of the messages that I was listening to was the message of the preacher. The message of the preacher, the true message. What is the message of the preacher? What are we to preach? Well, our Lord told us you to be witnesses unto me, witnesses of me. Not a witness in a murder trial, not a witness out here for somebody that's in trouble, but a witness of me. So this is something to be called to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, he says you have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said here, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now you remember when John the Baptist, they came and said, are you he that should come? And he said, oh no, I'm not he. So there's coming one after me whose shoe latch that I'm not worthy to unloose. Says, when he comes, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but when he shall come, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's what he'll do. And down here in verse 8, and he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You see, beloved, Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He rose again for our justification. Sets at God's right hand, proof that we're justified, proof that God accepted him, proof that he says who he said he was. We're justified by his blessed blood, justified by his obedient life. And he ascended, and that now he sits with the power, all power in heaven and earth given into his hands. And he comes and he endues his people with the power of the Holy Ghost. And there as he sits, he said, he promised that I'll send the Spirit of the Father. And he said, you wait. And after you stay in Jerusalem, you tarry in Jerusalem, don't you go nowhere until the Holy Ghost comes on you and gives you power. You can't witness. I don't want you saying nothing. Don't want you doing anything but stand right where you are until the Holy Ghost comes on you. The Holy Ghost baptizes you. You see, beloved, he's the one who gives us power to believe. He's the one who enables us to believe from the first day we believe till the last day we believe.
Amen.
He is the one who makes Christ known to us. When Paul, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, there were a multitude of people there who were at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ crying out, crucify him. There was a multitude who were at that cross who thought he was getting what was due him. How in the world did they go from being that way to being believers on the same day when Peter preached without the power of the Holy Ghost to make them know who it was that was crucified that day? Now, there was people there who crucified the Savior that day in that crowd. And oh, you see, in fact, beloved, he is the presence, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is the presence of Christ in us. Presence of Christ in us. Now look over here in 1 Corinthians 12 with me just a moment. You know that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And I told you last week, you know, that this baptism of the Holy Ghost is not something you get later. You don't get converted once, and then, you know, as time goes on, you get baptized and you have evidence by speaking in tongue. You wait and get a second blessing and that. No, when the Holy Ghost saves us, brings us to Christ, we're baptized in the Holy Ghost then. Now, we have many feelings at times. We're all in the Spirit. We're not in the flesh. We're in the Spirit. That's what the Scripture says. You're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit.
Amen.
And if we didn't have that word, if we didn't believe that, as much as we contend with it, we're in the Spirit. God considers us to be in the Spirit. How can you be in the Spirit without the Spirit being in you? And so you see, beloved, this Christ in us is the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. That's how we know Christ. That's how we understand the Scriptures. But look here in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The same Spirit that blessed these men and blessed these men and come upon these men is the same one. You see, he's the one who enables us to be a faithful witness of Christ. You know, John Bunyan says that of all the people that he knew and all the things that he did, he said shame, shame was his worst enemy. He said, Mr. Shame. He said, when I should have been a witness for Christ, through shame, ashamed to stand up, ashamed to say anything, ashamed to take my stand. Oh, Mr. Shame comes up and says, well, just, but oh my, he's the one who enables us to be a faithful witness of the crucified one, of the buried one, of the risen one, of the ascended one, and the one who's coming again. And all beloved, we to be a faithful witness of Christ, to be a true and faithful witness of him. And that's what he says, you won't do that. You stay until you get blessed with the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. That's why I truly believe that so few people say anything about the Lord Jesus is because they don't have the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost has never come upon them. I've heard a dear preacher say so many times, a preacher cannot tell what he don't know no more than he can come back from where he hasn't been. You cannot preach Christ if Christ has never been made known to you. And he can't be made known unto you until the Holy Ghost comes upon you and regenerates you and quickens you. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross, that obtained our salvation. He obtained eternal redemption for us. We come into the presence of God, as he read, by a new and a living way, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father. But, beloved, we wouldn't know that, we wouldn't have any part of that, we wouldn't understand that until the Holy Ghost came upon us and worked out in us what Christ worked out for us. Amen. When he read Hebrews 10 tonight, we wouldn't have a clue what he is saying unless the Holy Ghost blessed us to see. So you see how the Holy Ghost comes upon us and he enables us to be witnesses. Not only to witness for Christ, but he witnesses to us of Christ. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't know anything about sin. We wouldn't know anything of righteousness. We wouldn't know anything of our inability. And look here what happens. Look here what happens. Here's the very reason why our Lord said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, until the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Look what they asked him. He said, you're going to be baptized. He said, you wait for the promise of the Father. Here's why we know we have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why the Holy Spirit has to do something for us. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He's talking about the promise of the Spirit. I'm going to go away. You need someone to be with you, to comfort you, to teach you, to instruct you, to let me, so that I'll be with you through him. And what are they interested in? A kingdom on earth. That'd be like somebody talking to you about Christ, and you start talking about, you know, who you're going to vote for Thursday or something. You talk about Christ and they won't start talking about what's going on in the world. Oh my, he said, will you restore the kingdom? Huh? He's talking about how they need power and they're going to be witnesses and that the promise of the Father is going to come. And he's been with them for 40 days. And what do they want to talk about? A kingdom. A kingdom. And oh my, I don't know how many church signs I've seen over the years, and you have too. And they'll say independent premillennial. Fundamental, premillennial means that they're expecting a kingdom to come here to this earth and be set up.
That's right.
And that's what these Jews believed. The Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would restore Israel's political sovereignty. They believed that he had set up the kingdom of God on earth, and that it would be an earthly, a political, and a spiritual kingdom. That they would all go back to temple worship and they'd all be offered blood sacrifices again, and their king would be sitting on his throne and the whole world would be subject. All the world would flow to Jerusalem. And one of these days it will, but it'll be a heavenly Jerusalem, a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven.
Amen.
That's the point. No, they had been under foreign rule for 63 years before Christ ever came. But they were looking for David's son to set up David's kingdom again. Oh, let me show you. Look over here at Matthew 20. You think this was just as natural to them to think that, Matthew 20. And this is why I know, and this is what's so unusual. And then, you know, when you start thinking about Christ coming back to set up a kingdom on this earth, you mean he'd leave a heavenly throne to sit on an earthly throne? Do you think that he would be the sacrifice that would put away sin once and for all? That he would come here and let the Jews start sacrificing lambs again? But that's what they think is going to happen. Jehovah's Witnesses think that's going to happen. Fundamentalist Baptists think that's going to happen. I tell you, I don't know how many people believe, but there's going to be a kingdom set up here on this earth. There is a kingdom of God on this earth. It's a spiritual kingdom, and it's God's kingdom, and it's God's people on this earth, and the Spirit of God breaks this kingdom, and Christ rules in the hearts of his people.
Amen.
And when he will ascend the throne of a man's heart, mark her down. He's going to walk through the city of man's soul, and the first thing he's going to do, he's going to take old Mr. Understanding, rip him off of the throne, and he's going to ascend that throne, and he's going to go and Mr. Understanding's going to bow and say, yes, you're the rightful king of this throne right here. That's what's going to happen. Look what it says. That's what they said. There's another king, even one Jesus. They're out here saying somebody's trying to take Caesar's place. Oh, look what it said here in Matthew 20, in verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. This is John and James now, the two that's in the inner circle, Peter, John, James. And he said, the sons of thunder, that's who they are. And he said unto her, what will thou? What is it that you want? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. When you set up your kingdom down there, you're going to need somebody to be on your right, you're going to need somebody to be on your left. And that's what she wanted for. When you set up your kingdom here on this earth, that's what she wanted for. Said, boy, you know, I got to bet my boys that ain't afraid of nothing. You know, they're the very ones that said, you want us to call fire down from heaven on this bunch? The Lord said, you don't even know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking. Huh? And all beloved, go back over here in Acts 1. And they said, Lord, will you restore? See, they're looking back to when he was a great power. And you know, I know a lot of folks that's older, you know, some of you people that's older, and you remember when America was such a simpler place, and things were slower, and there was some respect, and you remember something different about America than what the kids are being raised in today. And that's the way they were. I said, Lord, will you restore? We had a kingdom one time. We was a great power one time. We had this king, David, the man after God's own heart. He defeated all of our enemies. We dwelt in peace. And then we had Solomon. Oh, Solomon built that temple. Solomon built that golden altar. Solomon built this glorious kingdom. And all people came from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. There was Hezekiah. Oh, what a king Hezekiah. And there was Josiah. Oh, Lord, restore the kingdom. You restore that kingdom to us now. We restore our power, our territory, and set up that glorious kingdom. And watch what they said. At this time, right now, not tomorrow, not next week, now. They were expecting it to be set up just like immediately. Oh, my. Let me tell you this. And this is where so many people... You know, some people think that our Savior's work needs to be done in a political way. Not in the scriptures. Nobody did it.
No.
You know, and there's so many people get involved, and there's some of these great big church leaders get involved in politics. They keep talking about how much power the religious right has. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know this. Our Savior's work isn't done in a political way. He told Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? He said, who told you that? Or does that come from yourself? Well, art thou king of the Jews? He said, that's what they said. He said, you say it. He said, for this end was I born. And he said, if my kingdom was this earth, said they'd fight.
Yes, sir.
But my kingdom not of this world. My kingdom is a kingdom of truth, and they that hear the truth are in this kingdom, and the kingdom brings truth wherever it goes.
Amen.
I defeat people by truth. I conquer men by truth. I defeat the error by truth. And oh my, that's why I say, well, it's the world's way. Let's get some people, if we could just get some Christians, if we could just get some Christians in great political powerful offices. Well, we had a Christian president one time a few years ago, and look what a mess we're in. It don't work. I'm telling you, it don't work. Well, if we could just pass some laws. If we get some laws passed against this sin and that sin and another sin, you know when sin's going to be done with a man? When God says is thrown up in his heart. When God gives him a new nature. You know, they passed a law against drinking back in the 20s. They said, Dave, catch you drinking, we're going to bust all your liquor up, you're going to jail. And people got filthy rich. Joints was everywhere. All you got to do to get somebody to do something, pass a law against it. I know a doctor, just give you an illustration. I know a doctor. They passed this law that they're going to outlaw these here automatic assault rifles. Before that law went into effect, because they're going to pass a law, he never owned a gun, didn't want a gun, didn't need a gun. But he wanted one of them when they said he's going to pass a law against it, so he went and bought him one. All you got to do is get somebody to do something wrong, just pass the law, just put up a no trespassing sign. Don't do that, and I'll guarantee you, 10 to 1, that they will break that law. And that's what I said, well, we can just pass some law, set up Christ's kingdom, get Christians in the high office. And if we could just get the world to understand the way we understand, the world didn't understand what Christ was teaching when he was here.
Amen.
Oh, and when God comes and men have new hearts and get regenerated and the truth and the gospel comes in power, they'll change. They'll change. Everything about them will change. But look what our Lord answered, said to them here in verse 7. And he said unto them, and this is what he's really saying, it ain't none of your business. But he said it in a nicer way than that. He says, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. You won't intrude into things that's not for you to know. It's not for you to know this, huh? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Now, times means an era, a certain amount of time. It's not for you to know the time when God, or the seasons, the time and event. God's got time that his will, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, he's going to do it here, and he's going to do it. There'll be a time that God may do something here and not do it there. God's got his time. Christ had a time to come. He had an hour. He come here for 1 hour, and that hour was his living, and his whole life was considered an hour. Everything about his life was an hour. For this hour, I came into this world. That was a time. That was a season. And there was a time and a season for David. There's a time and a season for the apostles. There was a time and a season for the Bible to be written. There's a time and a season for everything. And he said, it's not for you to know these things. Huh? It's God said, what did he say? Which the Father has put in his own power. Huh? Oh, my. He has it in his power. That's all that we need to know. My time's in his power. My seasons, and we have seasons, we have seasons. We have seasons of prayer. We can pray. We have seasons. You know, that's why I said be instant in season, out of season. You know, whether the Lord's blessing you or not, whether you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit or not, be truthful. Be ready always to give an answer. Be ready to stand up and witness for Christ. And then we have these seasons when we're cold, we have seasons when we're hot, we have seasons when we're dry, we have seasons when we're just like, we have these events that come in our lives and all these things. And that's what he said. But all we should be interested in is that they're in his power. Ain't you grateful they're in his power? What if your times and your seasons were in somebody else's power? What if they were in the devil's power? What would he do to you, you reckon? What if they was in the communist power, socialist power, democratic power, Republican power, independent power? Oh my, wouldn't we be in a mess? But oh, bless his holy name. God has times and season in his power. I'll go home tonight and I'll sit down in my chair and I'll go to bed and I'll sleep halfway decent, I hope. And if I don't wake up, that's all right. If I do, that'll be fine too. And God let me live to Wednesday night. It'll be his time. Hey, I have a time that I have to go preach. You have a time you need to come listen. Those are his time. And they're in his power. And we want to do it, don't we? Oh, thank God it's in his power. Then watch what he says here now. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here's the second answer. It's not for you to know. It's what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witnesses unto me. You know what a witness is. Everybody knows what a witness is. You just tell what you yourself have seen, what you yourself have heard, and what you yourself know. And that's what he's telling his disciples. You'll be witnesses of what you've seen. What you've seen. And oh, what have they seen? We'll find out when we go through the book of Acts what they preach, what they see.
Amen.
My soul, did they see some things. And then he says, and the witness tells what, and what did they hear? My goodness, what did they hear? They heard incredible things. Wondrous things. And what did they see? Oh, Simon, they saw Simon Peter, a mortal man walking on the water one night. They were standing with him on the mountain, John, James, and Peter, when he was changed in glistering white, brought the brightness of the sun in their presence, saw Moses and Elijah. And Peter said that. He witnessed to that later. He said, we were eyewitnesses of the majesty from heaven. And you shall be witnesses to testify. A witness testifies what they've seen, what they heard, and what they know of him. Ain't that what Luke said? He says, I took in hand to set in order the things concerning him, that the things most surely believed among us. And oh my, you see, they had seen Christ walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. They had heard his words. And he wrote down his words. And we have the words that they seen and they heard and they testified to. They're now in black and white for us. Oh my, how well did they know him? John leaned on his breast. He was called that disciple whom Jesus loved. They ate with him after his resurrection several times. Ate with him. Walked with him. Talked with him. And what is it that we witness to and testify to? Well, you know, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ physically, whom having not seen, we love. Huh? They saw the Lord Jesus Christ physically. We did. You see, we testify to things that we've never seen. They saw with their eye. John said it this, we have seen with our eye and handled the word of life which came. Handled it. That holy thing. You see, we believe in things that we've never seen. And we testify to things that we've never seen. God is invisible. And I'll tell you this, you cannot prove the existence of God. It can't be done. You either believe him or you don't.
That's right.
And you know, and he's just a generic term until he makes himself known to you. He's just a supernatural power or something. And you know, Christ, whom we've not seen Christ, we've never seen Christ, and yet we testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't actually see him there on that cross, but we testify to what he accomplished on that cross. We didn't see him put in the tomb. They saw him put in the tomb, but we testify that he was dead. Witness to that. We didn't see him rise again, and we didn't see him ascended. But we preach that he is a risen Savior, sitting at God's right hand with all power and authority. We say the same things they did because we believe the testimony that God gave us of his Son. Huh? Oh, my. We preach and talk about regeneration. You can't see regeneration. The wind blows where it listed, you know. Sometimes you wonder yourself, am I regenerated? Do I act like I'm regenerated? Redemption and justification. Who can see these things without the power of the Holy Ghost upon us? You can't do it. And then he says, you'll be witnesses of me. He has a certain order in which he's going to do this. He said, you're going to start in Jerusalem. And that's what they did. They started preaching in Jerusalem. They went back to Jerusalem, stayed in the upper room, and that's where they started preaching at. Right in Jerusalem. Start preaching in Jerusalem, and then after a while, after they got in trouble, started being persecuted, they had to start going somewhere else. Then they went to Judea. Judea is the southern part of what's known as Israel now. That's where the Jews were. In the upper part of it, the northern part of it, was Samaria. So they're going to go to Judea and all the little towns and villages in Judea and start preaching, start witnessing of Christ. Start telling that Christ is risen again, that Christ was the Redeemer, that Christ was the Messiah, that Christ sits at the right hand of God. We've seen him ourselves ascend to glory. And he says he's coming back again. And then go to Samaria. And remember when we was preaching this morning about Samaria, he says, that woman told the Lord Jesus, you being a Jew, have any dealings with a Samaritan? You imagine these Jews being told, you're going to go to Samaria and start preaching? Whoa! And we'll go, when we study this book of Acts, we'll see how that God made it. He had to make them do it. All of them had to go witness, had to go preach to Samaritans. Oh, Philip, the first one, went up there and started preaching. He went to preach, and Simon Peter said, let's go up there and see if that's really real, if God's really saving those people. And Simon Peter went up there and come back and said, yep, something's going on. I don't know what it is. But they're receiving the Holy Ghost just like we did.
Yeah.
Huh? And then he says, and you'll go to the uttermost part of the earth. And beloved, we're the uttermost part of the earth. Here we are. We're the fruit. Start in Jerusalem. And then go out into Judea. Then go up to Samaria. And then start going everywhere. And the scripture says they went everywhere preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. Look over with me in John 17. Oh, you see, we're the uttermost part of the earth now. And a lot of people say, you know, people are going to perish because nobody tell them of Christ. Well, there's been lots of places where the gospel's been. You know, it started out in Africa. Gospel started out, you know, they went to Africa, went to Asia. Now over there where the gospel started, almost everybody's Muslims now. Yeah, went to India. Went to Africa, went to Europe, went to Britain. They found a book of Psalms. I've seen this the other day. They found a book of Psalms with just 30 or 40 Psalms in it. Buried in a bog in Ireland the other day. That's over 800 years old. And they left it in all that mud and dirt and took it and put it in a refrigerator because if they let it dry out, a guy was digging there and he found it. Leather bound. Didn't have all the Psalms in it. Hand copied, leather bound volume of Psalm. Over 800 years old. Boy, it's amazing, ain't it? That's the uttermost part of the world. You know, those druids and self was painted up blue and red and yellow and green, run around naked eating raw meat when they first started preaching to those people. You say, oh my, that's bad. Yeah, about as bad as us. But look what he said here in John 17 and verse 18. And here's what happened. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now watch this. Neither pray I for these alone, these disciples, these apostles who I've sent out, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And he prayed for us back then, and now we believe through their word. Watch this. And here's the result of it, that they all may be one. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with the apostles, don't you? I agree with what they say. I believe the same thing they believe. I believe exactly the same gospel the Apostle Paul believed. I believe the same gospel Simon Peter preached. I believe the same gospel John preached.
Amen.
I believe the gospel my Savior preached and taught. Oh, so you know why? Because he prayed for us, and those men went and preached. And then look what a glorious hope we have. Oh, what a glorious hope. Down in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, they stand there talking to him. He gets through talking. Next thing you know, he was taken up. He was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. Oh, my. Why is this going to happen? Well, there's no more walking by sight. No more walking by sight. Now it's time to walk by faith. They're going to have to walk just like we do, by faith. Going to have to walk by faith. Christ's not going to be with them now, except in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. They're going to walk by faith. And all they received him as a cloud received him out of their sight while they steadfastly looked toward heaven as he went up. Why is he going up? He's being taken up. He's going to his rightful place at the right hand of God. He's going to be exalted to the position that God promised him. He said, Father, glorify me with the old self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He's entered into his glory.
Amen.
That's where he's going. He's going to his throne. He's going, oh my. He said, thy God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil above all thy fellows. And oh my, look over here in Psalm 24 with me just a minute. He was taken up. He was taken up. Who took him up? The Lord took him up. God took him up. The Father took him up to set him at his right hand, to give him all power and all glory and all authority. To be the head of his body, to be the head of his church. Look here in verse 3, Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you who's going to do it. Huh? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. My, my. Who can say, Proverbs, Solomon asked this, who can say he hath made his hands clean and his heart pure? Who hath not lifted his soul up to vanity? Oh my goodness. You reckon that's any of us? Nor sworn deceitfully. Oh, this is the one that's going to receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Well, oh my. Where's the answer? Huh? The answer is there, he that hath clean hands. Well, who is this one then who can ascend? Who has these clean hands, this pure heart, who's not lifted his soul up to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, that receives the blessing from God and the righteousness. Oh my. Look in verse 7. This is the one who ascended. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. That's what's happening. He's going back to where he come from. And oh my, that's the one who ascended. Clean hands and a pure heart, standing in ascended into the very presence of God. And there, beloved, he intercedes for us and meets all of our needs. And let me show you this in closing, back over in our text. Verse 11. I said, what a glorious hope, what a blessed hope we have. And oh, two men stood by him in white apparel. Well, they stand looking. They're looking. I mean, I'd look too. My goodness, I look. I look at a lot of things. I look up a lot of times to see what's going on. I look up and watch birds and love to watch pretty white clouds go by. Go out and look and see if a storm's coming. I'm looking up all the time. Well, these fellas are looking up, and they're watching Christ go. And as he goes up, there's this cloud, and he just goes right into that cloud. And all of a sudden, two men standing there. And he says, "You men of Galilee," he knows exactly who they was and where this from. "Why stand you gazing? I told you what to do. He told you where to go. He told you what to do. Why stand you gazing up into heaven?" Now watch this. This same Jesus, the same one that you see going, the same one that you walked with for 3 years, the same one that appeared to you for 40 days by many infallible proofs, the same one that was crucified, the same one whose blood was shed, the same one who came through the womb of the Virgin, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come just like he went. He went in power and glory, and he's going to come back in power and glory. Look at this, Matthew 24. He's going to come back like he went. Oh my, he's going to come back like he went. Matthew 24 and 30. This same Jesus, oh, the one you saw with those nail prints, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Shepherd of the sheep, he's coming back. Oh, look what he says now. He said he'll come back like he went up in a cloud. He's going to come back in a cloud. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Look over in Matthew 26 and verse 63. Oh, this... Well, what comfort. You men, quit gazing up. He's coming back. He's coming back. He went up in a cloud, went up in power, went up in glory. He's going to come back in power, going to come back in glory. Matthew 26:63. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered, said unto them, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Oh, they didn't like that. Then the high priest went his clothes and he spoke in blasphemy. We don't need any other witnesses. Well, them two men in apparel said, "He's coming back just like you." Oh, what a glorious hope. And it won't be as long as it has been. It won't be as long as it has been. One of these days, a big old white cloud's going to go rolling through the sky. And just like that, just that quick, just that quick, Christ will come riding on one of them. And when that happens, every eye, God in his power and glory and majesty will cause every eye, even those who crucify him, every eye will see him coming. And everyone that sees him coming, those ones who crucify, they'll start mourning. Oh, what have we done? What did we do? And the rest of us will say, "Blessed be the Lord who cometh with 10,000 of his saints." Oh, what a blessed, glorious hope we've got. Oh, my. Our Father, our blessed, blessed Savior, thank you. Thank you for this glorious hope we have. Thank you for this gospel that your servants preached, that you blessed to be written down, that you gave us in books, and we can read them. And you gave us the Holy Ghost so we can believe them and understand them and be taught them and be instructed in them and be kept in them, be preserved in them. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Thank you, blessed Savior, for dying. Thank you, O Father, for raising him from the dead. And thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for bringing him and making him known to us, him who sits in power and glory. Bless this gospel to the hearts of these here. Make it powerful and strong and effectual to our hearts to keep us from error, to keep us from falling, to keep us from sin. Oh, Lord, keep us believing, keep us cleaving to thee. We bless you for the gospel, for our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we bless you. Amen. Amen.